first work, thank you for giving the chance to present my recent work. So we'll see in the last year. It's titled by the postmodern test on the general relativity. And then let me briefly start from the motivation for my study. And then when we talk about the test for the general relativity, it's basically the depth of the scale that we specifically increased from the small scale to the very large scale. So mostly what we understand the general relativity is the very tightly as constrained the solar system. But by the way, in the small scale in the millimeter, and then we are not yet confirmed if it's a universe fine or not. And then also in the opposite scale, it's slightly greater than the solar system. The in other words, the galaxy and the cluster scale. And also that we are not so much sure, even though there is some observational consequences which introduce the dark matter. And also a little bit larger scale is, so to speak, so the horizon scale. We also have observational consequences. We do have Gaussian acceleration, and then it's pretty enough for us to doubt about the general relativity there. So basically, in my talk, I am particularly interested in the D scale. So basically, when you say the cosmic acceleration, there are two types of theory to explain the nature of the cosmic acceleration. The first one, so of course, is dark energy. It's introduced here, and no matter how, we do not understand it at all. And basically, general relativity is unbroken, it works fine. And the other types of the theory has there's no such a weird energy compound, it's called as dark. And by the way, the general relativity is broken down at another scale, and then also it can make the cosmic acceleration, the expansion is accelerated there. So because I'm pretty interested in the second scenario. Then actually we do need some types of models. So is there any theory set by the explained cosmic acceleration without any dark energy, with only general relativity broken down? Yes, there is some two survivors so far. The first one is BGP. And basically, as you know, the 4D brain where we live is introduced on the bulk, and then the grip is possibly live on the in the large scale, then basically we get some infrared modification, and which makes the expansion of the accelerator. And the second one, which also pretty successful and drew many attention to the community who are interested in this subject. And the FRGRP, the nonlinear fraction term is introduced in the Einstein-Hilbert action, then it can be fine-tuned, and to make effect loop curvature, and also make cosmic acceleration. And without spoiling clearly the solar system scale, although there are many disputes about that. So now, I briefly left out my motivation, so now let's go on. The first part. Basically, we already have some nice geometrical test. So actually, we said that we do have some evidence of cosmic acceleration. It's mostly done by some geometrical test from the very low register, now very high register. And what's that? And basically, from the very the low register, by using some of the distance letters, the mechanism basically Hubble keep project measure the Hubble constant in some aqueous, in the very low length. And the we go to move on the higher, like the length 0.35. Actually, we do have information of the angular dynamics distance to the peak structure. It happened due to sort of the peak structure. And also, probably this is a strong evidence of constant acceleration. So now it's moved on up to 1.2 or 1.3. And there are the many, the Chernobyl. Now it's 200, 300, this data set is pretty loose useful. And also, in the very high latitude. So basically, data CFD now we have WF data. And these guys not only give us information of the meta component, and also some primordial information. And that's not the whole thing. So basically, by using the location of the first peak point, and there it provides us the information of the angular distance from the here to the last scattered disappear. So that can be used for the geometrical test as the highest the highest latitude, from the low latitude to highest latitude. But by the way, let me just leave the second one for the modified data. I do not explain it clearly in my last of the talk. It's due to relate with some the unknown nonlinear the scale such formation modified data. So I'm not pretty sure if I can use this for this task or not. So I do not consider this more seriously. So then what is critical by the constraint, the dark energy theory, or here, the modified gravity. And basically, this is the principle of the leverage arm, because I explained to you from the low latitude to the very high latitude. The technically means that we do have the leverage arm for the expansion history, which is, if the any theory should survive, then its expansion history should satisfy the both ends. So nice measurement in the low latitude and the Chernobyl and the very high latitude at the Savior. And it turns out that it's a pretty hard constraint any dark energy theory or modified gravity theory to satisfy this. And basically, as you know, so far the triumph is come to the cosmological constant. I will show you how this model is greatly filled this leverage up like this, almost perfect. And satisfy the low latitude nicely and the almost exactly pointing the high latitude. Now I'm going to move the modified gravity part. If the modified gravity is really the actual theory, then it should have such a the characteristic. So let me briefly see the one by one from the DGP model. So before we try to going through is probably is the very helpful to get some the kind of intuition, what kind of expansion history the DGP have. And it can be more clearly understand by introducing some of the identical dark energy model, of which expansion history is pretty close, almost identical to DGP. Because we understand pretty well for the dark energy, then we can get some of the intuition. So yeah, so this kind of expansion history is understandable now, right? So actually we found that the identical is the dark energy. And then and we also found it has some interesting characteristics. So for example, that dark energy model, which is identical to this here, each indication of space is always greater than minus one. So technically it means that we can expect some of the consequences even before we actually see the expansion history diagram for the DGP model. Because the W effective is all the way greater than minus one, then the best field W for minus one. So to provide the same amount of cosmic acceleration, technically means that we do need a little more the dark energy component. This is a good point. Dark energy component here. And then, basically, to begin with, we fix the curvature. So, in the fixed curvature, we do greater than omega dark energy component with less amount of omega n. But, by the way, CMD prior actually gives a constraint of the the amount of matter, it means that with fixed omega n constrained by omega, the CMB and the less amount of omega n. So technically, there's no way except we do have a larger amount of a Hubble constant to fill this old constraint. So to conclude this line of the larger DGP has a high Hubble constant. That is the difference between the dark energy and the DGP model. So what makes, what is the consequence of this? There are two the expected failure to be expected to the DGP. The first one, possibly failure to angular dimension. This is the higher latitude. But I'm going to show you, it can be cured by introducing the curvature. But also, since it's technically different, H0 is different from the SCDF and then the DGP. So it's a pretty natural, it's a failure to fill the direct H0 measurement. So let's go through one by one. Now, the next one is a leverage arm test, the Schoenberg and then CMB. So basically, if there is the DGP, the best DGP, we collect this, and actually, as we expect, there is a slightly bad field factor for the DGP model here. And then, but, so technically means that we do need something which does not influence on the low latitude Schoenberg and possibly only influence on the high latitude. If there is such a cosmological constant, and then actually we can cure this leverage arm failure for the DGP. Is there anything like that? Yes, we do have. So actually we found that if we introduce the open curvature, then actually we cure the bad field for the DGP to the leverage arm. So it means that the flat DGP failed, but open DGP is survived. Now, let's move on to the second one. So how about the,
So what, how much curvature do you need to have?
0.03.
Sorry?
0.03. This is still a tiny amount. Yeah, right. But, yeah.
Yeah, because I guess with lambda, the uncertainty in the W map measurement is something like that.
Yes, right. So it's a kind of some the open or in the 2 or 1 sigma level O. So it's not quite significant. But by the way, let me tell you this way. So basically, we say the flatness is the requested by the CMB measurement. That is only if we fill the CMB data set with the dark energy model. And if we assure the cosmic isolation model as the modified VP like the DGP, then actually the open curvature is requested. It's actually the curvature is tested by the CMB. It's a dependent on model, cosmic isolation model.
So how if I keep the curvature flat, and I do a DGP, which is Z, how far is it? 3 sigma or 4?
Yeah, 3 sigma. I guess delta chi square is roughly, I remember, 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
The something that can factor is more in the closed poles, not in the open. So it's
because they're not exploring open parameter space.
No, they are. But the best fit is actually a closed model, and then it's
like 1.02 plus minus 1.02.
It's definitely more in the open.
Yeah.
So what's the typical value of the efficient state in GP model? Because you just say if it's more than minus one, quantitatively, what do you mean by more than minus one? Any number?
The which one?
No, when you say a DGP model corresponds to a dark energy model with a dark
bigger
than minus one.
Yeah.
Does that apply to any?
Yeah, that is not fixed W. Actually, that dark energy model has a time variation of the W0. So actually, I do remember at the present time, W is pretty close to minus 0.8. And then the PT minus 0.8, and now some approximately 0.1 or 2, and increasing. Right. So it's non-trivial, some of the shape of the W is requested to actually make identification expressions.
So the problem is not that it's strictly
yes,
bigger than minus 1, it's that it's minus 0.8 or something. I mean, it's, let's say, that it's bigger than minus
yes,
so 0.9.
Anyways, point that. Although it has some time variation of the W, but it's all the way up to the minus 1, never the below the minus 1. So, in the second one.
Sorry.
Thank you. In the end, the second one. Actually, it's different because the H0 is different, right? So it should be different from the target. But how much here? Actually, the Hubble project is different, the LCDM, right? So then, actually, the DGP, the H0 is replaced by the AT, it's a slightly tension to the one sigma. And also, in the low resistor body modulation, it's nothing but the H0 Pascal. But by the way, as I told you, we do not have any idea. So how much is the nonlinear the effect smearing into the linear actually is interfere with the empirical information of the multi-magnetic model. So until we figure out the nonlinear scale, I do not use this. So just we are end up with a very slight tension from the geometrical scale, but actually I say OpenBGP is a skill survive. So let me go to the next one. Let me skip the normal range here. So the next one is the basically a sort of sphere, the F5 gravity. So what is the consequence for F5 gravity? The geometrical test here. And there is something interesting because the even we do just with the geometrical test here and we can. So the theory is already excluded and like what? Like the DGP model, actually we found two different branches here. The first one, the classification is depends on the signature of the FIR. FIR is the second order derivative in terms of the Lynch scalar tensor in the Jordan frame. And also we define the B is the sign information is a pretty strictly followed FIR. So the first here is a negative branch here. And what we found is that basically the expansion history is inconstant to the general relativity, high curvature linear. So it technically means that to begin with, such types of the model is excluded. And then there is another branch here, it's positive. It's a pretty constant for GR at the high curvature linear. So it's observational consequences. So it's worth, it's really the value, it's worth the constant in such types of model. And then actually, there is some claim, the idea, there is some critique and the resolution. And we claim that, okay, in the negative branch here, if it has GR linear at the high curvature limit, then perturbations are the blown up. So, in other words, whatever it may be, as observationally, as meaningless for the negative branch here. For the positive branch here, we prove the initial condition and overheat the GR linear as a pretty nice high curvature linear. And we found that the perturbations are stabilized as a worse testing this model. But shortly after we published this paper and then the Chris criticized by the bottom. Okay. His point is that FI models does not have a metal domination error. So it does not need any post-functional test because it's already ruled out. And second one is criticized by the Dean and some people, and they claim that we claim the perturbations are blown up for the negative branch, but actually they found that the negative branch perturbations stabilized. So in the first half, so every the claim, the old claim, each claim is disturbed each other. So probably, so one of them should be wrong. But actually, we found that all are quite right by using the slightly adding some word to the parallel. So first, following. So he said, FI model does not have a dominated error, but his claim is just only this. Only the negative branch FI model does not have metal domination error. So that is what exactly we say. And then the observationally is ruled out. And the heat does not mean the positive branch. We are questioning it very seriously. Then how about the beam?
So understand the different branches. So this theory can be rewritten as a scalar tensor theory, right?
That's
so
right.
The B less than zero, bigger than zero, does that correspond to having stable potential?
Yes, right. I'm going to get that point in the next slide about that. Yeah, right. This really is the key point. We found some little resolution. Okay, let me get the point there. And also, in the Beam's point, and then the negative branch is stabilized, but we insist that it's blown up. But actually, we found that it can be also shorter. We can make the argument by adding a little bit of water for this. It's stabilized, but with background expansion, we missed the metal-dominated error. So it means that actually she used some expansion, background expansion on the history, which is not observationally observable. It's not observable. So basically what we claim, if it is the GR limit, then it's blown up. But of course, if we use the background equation does not exist, then actually it's stabilized. Then what's going on? Let me see in the view from some Einstein plane. So technically in this sense, there is some scalar field, and the scalar field, the behavior of scalar field is technically, it can be understand the potential well, the potential in the Einstein plane, which is also included in the Carmelo effect there. And then in the very high quadrature linear, and this scalar field is pretty close to the Lissi profile of the Lissi scalar tensor in the Jordan plane is closely related to each other. So in the GR linear, we do know about the value of that Lissi scalar field to Jordan plane, and then we can make a relation to the C. So actually, we can take some initial condition of the GR, initial condition for the scalar field, if the theory is start from the GR, it's consistent to GR, then what happened? The two branches is really interesting. The first one, actually in the negative branch, and that GR linear does not stay in the stabilized point. So it does not stay at the GR linear. For the positive branch, actually it stays in the GR linear. So we give the initial condition there, and technically it stays there and evaluate the GR linear. So what is consequences? Actually, the weaker is much more understandable if we plot in the Jordan plane, that we understand the Lissi scalar field. So in the Jordan plane, actually, the solid line is the general relativity theory in the curvature linear. So as I told you, once it's stabilized, then actually if we give the initial condition there, and it can stay at the stabilized point and provide the constant there. The history like the GR. So positive branch is really good. But by the way, since this point is unstable for the negative branch, so it's quickly decay until it finds its own value. And at that point, it's evaluated its own way. So technically, negative branch is completely inconstant to the GR limit at the high curvature. Not only this, as a bottom line insists here, actually in that sense of its own way of the expansion history, actually it's missing the metal domination error. And only the positive part actually is consistent to the high curvature limit. So now we are pretty reasonable to rule it out. The other branch here, and I'm going to focus on the positive branch here, how to deal with it. Yes.
Let me just understand something. So when you write the effective of psi, you mean the potential you derive for the scalar field in Einstein, right? So does that include the, because that field couples to conformally to standard model fields?
Oh, yeah, actually, the.
And that's included in
yeah, so this is effective.
So it includes turning on.
Yes, yeah, so basically, actually, in your sense, the chameleon is that. Like yeah, so it's included there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but these models, aren't they proved out by just solar system tests? Well, there are models.
Ah, solar system tests, wow, yes. So, at this moment, actually, to believe is what's fine, but actually, there are some people, they believe the proof is that's not only the solar system scale, but actually, we also found that their Taylor expansion to the higher order ignore some term is not reasonable because it's not ignorable. So actually, I just like to say, I don't know at this point, but it's still the left out of debate. But
no, because I mean, it's very nice to require the theory is consistent with GR at high kilowatts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it would be even nicer to require that it's consistent with GR at low kilowatts as well, where we know that GR works, right? So
yeah.
1/r obviously is not similar to GR at low kilowatts. 1/r, because it's, I don't know.
Minus 1/r, the theory is belong to the negative range there. And then the yes, right?
But he means high curvature compared to dark energy curvature.
Yeah.
So solar system curvatures is very large in this case. Okay. So what you're saying, let me see if I understand, when you say consistent to GR, you're saying you pick an FLR.
Yeah.
So that in sort of local curvature, like around us, it really reproduces.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So these FLR satisfy solar system.
Yeah, right. So this is just, that one. But, yeah, so if we just question the high curvature linear and the solar system works fine, but probably in such a very small scale, there is another factor which we're missing. So I do not know about that.
But just to make sure I understand this question, right? So
yeah.
The F of R's that you'll say will be consistent, those you
have yes,
a
right.
specific F of R that satisfy all the tests.
Yes, right. Yeah. So now we are pretty interested in some of the solution for the background, for the positive background, not the negative one. Then actually, in due course of time, so let me just show you the feature. So you know, normally we'd give the app the theory of the app, the form of the app. Actually, we are interested in to solve the expansion history, right? But actually, we found that we are more interested in the other way around. So technically, means that because we already do have a best fit expansion history. So what we are more interested in is that what if we prove the best fit expansion history, if there is any FR theory to exist or not, right? So if not exist, it means that it's already ruled out. And also, if it exists, then how many? Just one single, or there are so many FR theory and the share the same the expansion history, right? So in that sense, actually we found some of the end of the technique. Actually, we switch over the theory, and then this also the background equation is now looks like the second order differential equation in terms of F, in terms of R. And then the technical is that once we give the best expansion of the history, then we solve the second order equation and get the solution. So now question is that what type of solution is there, if it exists, or how many? So actually the solution actually is the split into two parts. The first one is inhomogeneous solution and the other one is a homogeneous solution. So basically, we prove the known like some cosmetic concept model, the best fit the Weber DE. And we found that, okay, yes, right. So after the solution exists there. And also, by solving the homogeneous part, and we also found that it's not a uniquely F, it's there are many F. So it's a, the story is really interesting because the, with the geometrical identity, and we do have so many the theories, so the experimental list should go there, exclude some of them. So like here, so there are so many curves in the shape of the FR. The older curve here actually share the same identical expansion history. And then not only this three, there are so many some continuous spectrum there. So let me briefly summarize that. The first one, okay, DGP survived the geometrical test with the slight expansion. And the second one, there's a FR model. Then we do not have any geometrical test because there is theory which is identical to the H with the best fit of that, and then the, it passes completely, very clearly, and wait for the next generation test. And what is the next generation test except the geometrical one? That is actually structure formation test. So before you go through the structure formation test, let me briefly say what is the structure formation. It can be some the understood by using some specific part of the quantity.
So like, can I ask you about your previous conclusion? I'm sorry. So just want to make sure I understand. So when you say you found f of r so that you reduce h of z, you say h of z up to redshift 1 or something?
No, actually h of z
for all time.
Yeah, except for all time.
Okay, so then is it obvious that all those f of r's do satisfy tests of gravity?
Not all of them. Just
not all of them, right?
Yeah, just
that's going to restrict.
Yes, right. Just restrict and the various and the fine to the initial condition. And but the point is that here there is some the special type of FI model is part to branch it. And then the each spectrum is continuous. So in that sense, it does not mean it's covered over.
But I guess the question is, I guess the question is whether there are any.
Yes, right. Yeah, there are any some specific. So. Yes. So my point here, this can be clearly understood if we introduce the subquantity is called the phi minus. It's defined based on difference between the phi is the curvature perturbation, c is the Newtonian potential. It's not only easy to understand, but also it's a physical need. So let me think about that. What is the cosmological consequence? What we do observe? It's just nothing but the trajectory of the photon, right? But basically, this trajectory of a photon is influenced by the potential. And that potential is not just only some curvature perturbation or nuclear potential. Actually, it's influenced by the difference between the phi minus and phi minus. So now we plot everything based on this phi minus. And let's first try to understand the general relativity. And then the once metal accumulation comes in inside the horizon, all the scale from the small or large, as phi z is inside the horizon, is the evolution is homogeneously, not homogeneously, it's identically. So scale dependent is a drop down. So actually, and also in the meta perturbation, in the meta domination era, it's strictly flat out. But by the way, the point is that once the transition happens from the meta and the cosmic acceleration, as you know, like some dark energy, and the perturbation of dark energy, as a completely smooth out inside the horizon. So actually, although the meta component is now the subdominant, but in the sense of the perturbation, it's the leading perturbation. So leading perturbation is a component of not the dominant the background, it's subdominant background. Then actually, it starts to decay away and the transition to the acceleration. So technically means that once we do have information on the background, then actually we can predict, as far as the general relativity, pretty nicely the expected structure formation is called the phi minus. So if there is any weird physics going around, And actually, the, we can predict the uniquely this subformation of general relativity. So in that sense, the deviation from the modified gravity acquire the mean because the, based on this unique, because we already test the geometric test, so background extension is almost identical. But with that, I'm going to show you the DGP and the FI model types of deviation from this structure formation. So once you make any difference, tell me there is a way to differentiate the year in the cosmological year. So the first case, more decay is the DGP case, and then the increment is the FI case. So let me tell you the step by step what we do expect for the DGP. So we do need a dynamic equation. So basically, the dynamic equation, so based on the maximal symmetry, we found the two types of dynamic equation. The first dynamic is defined in the plane with 4D Bianchi identity. It looks pretty close there, even the anisotropy stress, the 4D anisotropy stress. It's closely related to the other quantity. So it makes a half the 4D Bianchi identity is closer in that sense. But it's not that near, it's close to 5D. Because actually, this Bianchi identity is dependent on the gradient amount of the perturbation is along the bulk direction. And then also, there are other cells of the equation can be found is called the master equation, which technically means that how the perturbation is sourced by the brain and the propagate. Basically, this is a wave equation from the along the bar. So actually, we solve these two types of dynamics and make a couple, then we can find some solution from the. So let's just step by step. So easiest some example is the very inside of horizon. Actually, very inside of horizon, we found that the 4D effect on the Bianchi identity is a first order. It's not only first order, it's a really small effect. So we can ignore the without any doubt. So basically, in the well inside of horizon, the solving the 4D Bianchi identity is enough for us to derive the solution from this dynamic. Then we do expect some feature because the so how the structure formation quantity bimodal is changed from the general relativity? The first one is pretty easy for us to guess because the in the DGP the plane basically the 5D Planck masses are the greater noise getting smaller. So cosmological constant part of its increment. So increment of the cosmological the constant is basically it's a change the Einstein constant is called the Poisson equation. So actually we do expect a higher increment. But it's not the end of the story because although there is some increment, actually the Poisson equation itself, the matter part is changed. It's not only boosted by the matter component, also the influence by the bio fluid, the density fluid. Actually, it's, most people is really confused these contribution people, but actually we found that, and they found there also Quellen and Matte and Russo, Shalo and Stachman. And then this contribution is not negligible. Actually, it's worked as a negative. So actually, it contributed to decrement. And also, anisotropy is not negligible because we are not interested in just the cometary perturbation. We are also interested in the relation between the phi and c. So basically, if the anisotropy is not negligible and it changes. So net decrement of phi minus DGP against phi minus is more decrement. So this is the first part in the well inside the horizon. Then how about the next one? Because it's not enough, but because we already have some of the cosmological consequences in the near horizon, like the CND ISW effect. So we do need to solve the equation at the near horizon. But unfortunately, and it's pretty expected. And now, the part we ignore before is not ignorable at all. So basically, now we do need to solve exactly. And we found that this coupled equation is not easily tractable in the analytically. So we found some alternative way to solve this. The way it's such like here. The first, we solve the equation, ignoring the 5D effect, just over like the last slide. And FPL put this solution on the now non-negligible the wave propagation, and then the of course we the wave propagation is solve this equation with the boundary condition. Boundary condition is nothing but in the radiation domination and the matter domination, basically the Kojak function is not infinite. They have some finite size. So probably because it's the source there from the brain and the propagate, so probably it's not on top of the in the outside of horizon. This is a pretty reasonable assumption. So based on this boundary condition, actually we can feedback the gradient amount. So now let's go back to first step. Now we don't have to solve the equation based on the 0.5D effect. Now we do have something, right? It's more the realistic. So we do solve the first step and get a new solution and put it background and return the other one. So technical means that we iteratively solve. Now what is solution?
So you solve in the case inside you solve get the boundary condition.
Yes, right. Yeah, right. And iteratively. So actually when we started this iterative solution, we wanted to make the theory in the instability because it's predicted by the people who work on the DGP theory in the quantum level, and they expect instability. Although this is classical level, actually the way to expect probably we are end up with the same instability, right? But actually the result is that our solution has a convergence, and then the not only convergence, the solution we get is appear to be stabilized, and then it's observationally is possible. So now we just say, as far as linear scale is concerned, not the linear scale, because we do not work on that, linear scale, and it's a classical level. And we do believe that we put every dynamic power, we do not missing anything. And then in that sense, as far as we do not proceed to the digital phase, now it's not the digital phase, right? There is a matter of the 30%. And up to this point, there is no the instability there. And then what we get is there are more decay modes there. So now we do have theory, we do have a linear theory of the DGP. So now we can make the cosmological test. So first one comes to your mind probably because it doesn't have a different decay scale, and the first comes into mind ISW effect, right? Basically, CMD at the larger scale is a measure the total amount of decay, and then since it's more decay, it means that we do expect more the ISW effect. So like here, we do have W map the measurement, and then best fit, always best cosmological constant. Now, technical means that how much bad, right? How much bad the DGP theory we found here in terms of WM, like this. It really looks bad. So now we think about is that kind of is completely ruled out or not? But unfortunately, it's a similar scale, it's completely dominated by the Poisson invariance. It's pretty hard to say about any clear exclusion, but anyway, it's more tension to the DGP. So technically, although this is a futuristic, but we do need the another test. It's inspired by the close look at the behavior of the cosmological the decay shape. So suppose that actually if you just think about the total amount of ISW decay event, actually we got this. Also, if there is any way the specifically targeting isolated, so ISW effect at the high energy, that we can see the general relativity case, there is no signal to the decay. So it means that there is no significant the signal. But well, actually the DGP is strictly more decay. So in that point, we do not expect no signal the general relativity, but we expect a high signal general relativity. So it can be a very clear test for the DGP at the high energy. But is there any way? Yeah, there is a way. We can make fields by close correlation. So first, in the targeting area, we make ready for the galaxy sample. And then bring the cosmic, the CMB map from the high latitude to actually the targeting space and the cross correlated here. And then, as we expect, the GR signal is completely ignored, and then the DGP signal is significant. And the point is that what is the reasonable? Even with the, if this is not full sky, we just use probably is the third or 20% sky coverage, but actually that noise level is significant to test here. Like the we provide this the paper, and we responded by some experimental people shortly after 2 months. And the SPS people, and then not just the high, not we need not is not the general 3. For its 1.5, they provide this result. So red one is LCDF, white is blue, and blue one is what they measure as a best fit. And probably you wonder where is the DGP, and DGP is stated here. So the current in the high latitude here, the data set is something between the DGP and the LCDF. So this is can be a strong motivation why the ISW people should go to the Z equal higher. So it would be interesting in the future when they are ready to release the data.
Those galaxies or quasars?
I saw. Yes, please. Oh, no. Yeah.
So can I ask, what about the DGP not self-accelerating, but with the CC? It also modifies
the... Which one?
So normal branch of DGP.
Oh, yeah, normal branch, yeah.
If you had a CC, how does it do with ISW?
Oh, yeah, so let me see here. So actually, in the normal branch here, the gravity modification, actually, the cosmological constant is supposed that the brain tension. The brain tension and the normal branch here. And then, actually, the opposite thing happens. So now, in this case, it's not the more decay, actually, it's the increment we get. So technically, means that we are able to discriminate. And then, the paper is now under construction. Yeah.
So it would go more towards.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. So actually, we found that. Actually, ISW of the CMB is blown up, right? But actually, it's the opposite paper. It's the decay. Yeah. So in some sense, it can be sure some quadrature, but I don't know at this point. So. Let's go to the FR graph here. So we just stick to the solver, the every equation, every dynamic equation in the Jordan plane. So, but as you know, in the Jordan plane, it's also the nature. It's really hard to deal with the unlimited, this unlimited solution. So probably we do need some smarter, the reduction, the introducing some of the smart parameter and the reduction of this first order to the second order, right? And we struggle with that part. And then, to begin with, it was a completely separate project. And we were also introducing some separate universe argument in the supervisor scale. But we have never imagined, basically, two completely separate projects is come to near, and then actually is said, is helpful each other. So in that sense, a little bit, the debate from the streamline of the talk, let me just say some completely irrelevant the issue of the separate universe, but actually I show you how these argument help to solve the dynamic of the FR theory in the first order by finding nice parameter. Not the parameter, nice variable. So what is the separate universe argument at the supervisor scale? So it looks unpractical. Actually, this is some the Galaxian experiment. So forget about any physical process inside the horizon. Just stay at the very large and the super horizon scale. And then our patch of the universe is looks just some the local quantity that isolate them. And the Bertschinger and the introduced just the fundamental argument. The Friedman equation is what's fine, and there is still the conservation, which is pretty reasonable. And then as far as this assumption is good, then there is only a single dynamic equation for the structure formation. So nominal general relativity would modify with TCP or FR as far as they satisfy all these fundamental arguments. They should satisfy here. So actually, so we found that the equation we derive for the modified gradient can be tested by this argument. Because if this theory is healthier and should have this dynamic equation in the Shapiro scale, so in the first hand, we use this theory as a test of our dynamic equation we derive, the first of this here. Because many people is complain about that, because we do not find their instability, they really some doubt that we miss some part. So we also test for this here. But unfortunately, the good part is the left part. Actually, it's exactly identical to the Bertrand's argument. But this left part is not clear because we are ended with some quantity, finite quantity, which law is not strictly zero. But anyway, we found that numerically or later, the analytically, once we make the polarized linear, then actually that variable is approached to zero. So it means that DGP is healthier. At least the dynamic equation we use for the DGP is pretty healthier. At least in the polarized scale. So it's another way we confirm. So we try to the same test for the GR. Although this looks some the fourth order gravity, but it's not that pretty high in the polarized scale. So we reduce the Einstein equation, conservation equation in the polarized scale, and we coupled each other, and we found this relation. It's exactly the Bertrand's argument. So modified gravity is known to us so far. It's a pretty good theory based by the polarized scale. Now, let me tell you how these different projects and meet each other in this way. So we suppose that we found that actually dynamic of the DGP in the polarized scale actually is a come in surprise. We can bring it down by using the source term which depends on K, so it becomes important, right? But we suppose that if such a the variable for the FR was there, then actually we can bring the dynamic inside the horizon. And then also we see it's pretty good because epsilon is given by the constraint, but actually although it's a dynamic equation, probably it's not bad as far as this dynamic equation is solvable. So we introduce some of the parameter epsilon and we put this into the force of the Einstein equation. Actually we found that this force of the dynamic is nicely reduced in the second order dynamic. And not only this, not only this solvable, and also the other quantity we are interested to solve in the Einstein equation or the concept of the quantity is nicely sourced by the epsilon. So we can derive the solution and then we derive. This is just a positive branch. And then let's just briefly see some of the feature. So there is a general relativity there. And then from the bottom, 10 to minus 5 is almost a polarized solution. So polarized scale. So this is pretty close to the Bertrand. But why there is a difference from the general relativity from the same identical? Because the INSP relation is different between general relativity and the FR theory is making different. Now, the next line is a characteristic scale of the CMB ISW, 10 to minus 3. So in that scale, there is a lot of difference, so we should have the observational consequence. And in the next level, 10 to minus 2 is the typical characteristic scale of the cross correlation. It's more deviation, so we do expect more the difference quantity. And finally, 10 to minus 1 is the upper bound of the linear scale, right? So we are able to test the power spectrum. So three different tests, observational tests, is waiting for us now. And that's my final part. I need just 5 more. I'm sorry. So the first part is ISW scene. And let's start from before the help is slightly more. So technically means that it is less decay. So we do have a, we do expect a less amount of isotropic effect, and actually we do like here, this is expected R. So let's go in R. So this is really interesting. So roughly, in terms of some total amount, is there is technically no significant is decay. So probably our CMB, the power spectrum, is just ended with just to that like this, almost flat, no isotropic effect. Now let's move on. There is an increment. What happened? Actually, the CMB isotropic effect, the problem is it does not care about the sign convention. It just measures the total decay rate. It's a magnitude of total decay rate because it's autocorrelation. So no matter how decay, no matter how increment, as far as it's the same amount, then actually isotropic W as a provider almost equal to the GR case. Now, from now on, it's a practical point. How about we increase? It's a more decay. So we do expect completely the higher amount of the cosmological consequence is completely so ruled out. It means that in the first step, we define some upper bound for the field, right? So the theory greater than V0 is ruled out by the same reason. So this is a practical point. Let's move on to the cross correlation. So now we the targeting the redshift at some point at the low latitude 0.2, there is some signal from the general relativity. And how about the next one? It's a less decay. Not here, because we're targeting here, right? So still decay there. And the medium less. And the next case, we have more less. Now it's an interesting point. In the CMB isotropic effect, actually does not care about the sign convention. But actually, this close correlation, isotropic comp, the R function, it just comes in the one. So the whole signal, it depends on sign convention. So once sign flip, then actually we do have a negative power spectrum. Let's think about that. The isotropic people is announced ISW. It should be present 95%. So it means that this negative the power spectrum should be excluded more than 95%. So now the upper bound is reduced by the cross correlation up to equal 1.5. It is pretty interesting. We continue this line in the future. And then what is the next one? Actually, we recently done. Actually, the.
Hang on a second, but if you take your cross correlation with the quasars, which had a redshift of 1.5,
yeah.
At that point, if I understand your plots correctly, you're right, the potential's growing. So that.
Yes, right. Yes, right. There. Yes, right. So, yeah, you're right. So if we're targeting the larger, the higher redshift, right?
Yeah.
So then it means that we can rule out the theory in the more low value, so I mean the stronger constraint, technically, because the decay shape is the flip at the high register, so
yeah.
Already it's negative, you know. So yeah, it could be also the motivation why we go to the high register.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you already showed us some results, right?
Yeah.
So did those already rule out all these? Did those results?
Oh yes, right. So. Actually, now we try to, this is just a theory we published 3 months ago, right after that. Now we are analyzing data set.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in the process. We just finished the power spectrum test here, and we should prove that one. But as you told me, probably there is some interesting boundaries comes up. Yeah, so we did not finish the result. So now power spectrum, we just finished this part. So because we do have a power spectrum, right? So SS people, there's an LRG sample there. And but unfortunately, you know, we do not have a nonlinear structure formation. So technically, along the boundary in the light side, all the 6 pointer is unusable. But not only this, I also found that there are a few pointers we should be at the elevator because there is some Q factor, for the Q factor, we should consider it. So possible the scale dependent galaxy, also the finger of God, the effect, and also the there is some envelope of the nonlinear structure, possibly it's smearing into some of the nonlinear structure slightly. So basically, fitting population was the delivered almost 10 years ago. I don't know why the people are still using the same thing. But actually, they use this functional form, and then they define the scale there. But I like to claim that as far as modified EPFT the concern, we do need new forms of function. At least we must cover ourselves that that has a case the dynamic form is really the good owner. Until then, I also decided to remove the more points. So we are just left with just almost half, but it's not bad. So my last slide is showing the MCH chain. So we put the SDS and then the Shonobi and the WMF and try to derive the, this is a likelihood function, and then the, this is learning in the direction of the B. And then the roughly the 1 sigma level is 0.1, this is pretty good, but in the 2 sigma level it's slightly bad. But probably you are very wonder why, because it's completely deviate from the this, the why is not clearly ruled out, right? But because this is bad, we do not, although I remove all scale dependent biasing factor, but still, the scale independent biasing is completely something pre-parameter. So the people usually do, okay, this is just a nuance parameter. When they try, they just they analytically the marginalized over. But I think that it's pretty right. So in this case, it is pre-parameter. So basically it's up until then, and but actually we tuning the scale independent biasing actually make it feel better. So actually it's an independent parameter. So we treat the remove the marginalization subroutine, actually we treat B as an independent parameter. Actually we found anti-correlation. So this procedure is make still survive the high B apply model. But actually this is not bad. So we just finish three tests. Yeah.
So the smaller the B0 gets, the closer it gets to the minus B in REM.
Yes, right. This so, is a lot of C.
Right, so the fit is getting better as you get closer to lambda C.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I see. So I guess it seems to be, I don't understand why you're using a logarithmic plot, because it's sort of, because if that were a linear plot, it would be, or a strong peak at zero.
Oh, yeah. So, this is just a trial test. So, we just suppose if, so in the beginning, if there is some small quantity, it's getting the higher peak, right? So,
right.
In the beginning, we don't want to lose that possibility. So, but anyway, as you point out, yeah, once we define the SDM is best, now it's the logarithm is not going to make any sense. Yeah. Now summarize, so my conclusion is that, I'm sorry, it's 5-10 minute test. So we do the geometrical test, and also we try the linear automation theory, and we try to the post-functional test, but it's not enough, as you see. We need to something, but ultimately, I'm interested, or you are interested, is that not just ruling out modified FT or taking modified FT. This is just some part of the story. Ultimately, we are interested if the general relativity is really can be confirmed in the large scale or not. That's the final question, right? So, to determine this ultimate interest, I found that the linear scale is not enough. We do need the information on linear scale. So, I just tried some of the sample tests here, not just highly nonlinear. Just suppose that we figure out some slightly nonlinear, just a boundary between the linear and nonlinear, then how much we can improve the general relativity test in the future, like this. There is a general relativity, and then I try to put the ground-based experiment. In the future, not just the ISW and then the power spectrum, basically structure formation test is come from the more powerful tests we created. So this is the the limit of the constraint on the general relativity expected from the ground experiment, but actually can be supported by many systematic effects, like some spread function. Point spread function is really enemy for the ground state, and also some of the photogen error. But probably in the space mission is free from the point spread function and still has a nice constraint there. And what is the meaning of the in terms of the constraint? For example, DSP is clearly ruled out, and also the typical FR theory is removed. So probably in the progress of the theory and then the observation are the guideline, probably we do the best job in the future. So it's the end of the survey. Thank you.
What experiments?
The weak ranging, but I do not include all the statistics. I do not include the galaxy correlation, and also I do not include the 3-point. This just simple the 3-point cosmic shell possible.
What's
JDAM?
JDAM
stands
for JDAM
is that. It's in the dark energy report is the considered the force generation.
So this is the joint dark energy.
Yes, joint dark energy. Not just the ground, it's just a space to be.
Yeah, what's the, I mean, I know LSST is sort of like 2010 or 2015.
Yeah.
What's the JPEG?
Oh yeah, so now that's a problem because the basically the fund is limited and then the there are DEV and the SNAP and the destiny is compete for the final proposal is to come in the next year. But actually, they decide to cover from the 1,000 square degree to the 3,000 square degree. Probably, it does not make any sense of going further because basically, we do not use the weak ranging alone. We consider complementary testing, right? So in the low latitude and the complementary the weak ranging. In that sense, the complementary constraint, basically, with the larger coverage of the sky, does not make a super hair. So basically, that's, I don't know why the European people do go to the 10,000 scale, but I don't know about that part. But actually, it's pretty reasonable for the JDM go to the 1,000, 3,000. And then in this plot, I take a conservative just 1,000 scale.
Okay.